Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
This is the third week of our current message series. It's also a special event for us because this weekend is Mission Sunday. We're celebrating our local mission partners. After Mass, take a few minutes to learn more about the good and great work that they do and that we do with them. And if you'd like to get involved and give it a try, we can help you out with that too. Missions are what we call service outside the parish, and it's one of the five strategic steps that we think disciples should be taking, at least from time to time or at some point. And I'm excited about this weekend because this parish undertakes amazing local missions all the time, every single week of the year. But a lot of people don't know that, and we could do a much better job of celebrating it. So join us on the concourse after Mass as we celebrate missions. This week, two other amazing events were in the news. Perhaps you caught it. Two amazing events in two of Baltimore's most troubled neighborhoods, and I'm happy to say that our parish supports both these efforts. On Wednesday, ground was broken on a new $24 million state-of-the-art Catholic school that will eventually serve hundreds of grade school children in the Lexington Terrace neighborhood of West Baltimore. And then on Thursday, ground was broken on a new $61 million residential treatment facility for women struggling with addiction as well as homeless women and children in the Jonestown section of East Baltimore. The new Helping Up mission will serve hundreds of residents every single day when it's complete. That's good news. With all of the bad... With all the bad news that comes our way every day about these communities and others in our region, there are actually good and great things happening worth celebrating and supporting. Of course, it's the bad news that always gets our attention, doesn't it? It grabs and holds our attention. Maybe it's because of its ability to amaze and astonish us. Maybe it's just because it's a great way to distract us from our own problems. But either way, we want to know. We're intrigued to find out when it comes to bad news. As we've noted in the course of this series already, while human nature is indeed drawn to bad news out in the world, we're all personally hungering for good news back here at home. Even though bad news can get our attention in our heart, in our soul, in the deepest part of who we are, we hunger for good news. We've also noted in the course of this series that the good news we all ultimately need to hear about is given to us in the gospel. The four accounts of Jesus' life that we find in the Bible. Gospel, literally meaning good news. And at its heart, the good news comes down to this. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Through the course of this series, we're reacquainting ourselves with the various aspects of this good news that can positively influence and impact us personally, as well as our church family, and then by extension, our larger community. The more we appreciate this good news, the easier it becomes for us to share it. Fortunately, so many people, more and more people these days, perceive Christianity as bad news, either because of their own misunderstanding, or more likely, because it's been misrepresented to them, or most likely, because Christians themselves don't make it all that believable. The church and church people get in the way of the good news. But all that said, it is in fact true, we would have to admit. To really understand the good news that is Christianity, we do have to acknowledge at least a certain sense, bad news. In his book, Good to Great, Jim Collins described the culture of companies that went from somewhat successful to highly successful to wildly successful. What's their secret? One of their key distinguishing attributes was an ability to face what Collins calls the brutal facts about their organization, and then work to overcome those facts. And you know what? The same is true for us. To fully grasp the good news of the gospel, we have to face an unpleasant, you could say, brutal fact. And here it is. All of us want validation. All of us hunger and thirst for validation. We want it, we need it. We want to be validated. Validation is judging something and finding it valuable or worthwhile. That's what we want. We all do all the time. That's why in the back of your mind, you're always asking the question in one way or another, am I doing a good job? Am I a good mom? Am I a good dad? If you're married, you want validation that you're a good spouse. If you're a student, if you're a manager, if you're a leader, if you own a business, whatever role you have or position you fill, you seek validation. And so do I. And beyond the validation we seek in the roles we play is the underlying question, the real question, the basic question, am I a good person? We desire validation about that. And at the same time, we know that sometimes we haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. While we hunger for validation, we fear judgment because we know that any judgment, any evaluation is going to expose gaps. Gaps between who we are and who we could be. Gaps between who we are and who we want to be. Gaps between who we are and who people think we are. Gaps between who we are and who we propose to be. That's not a question. That's a brutal fact about every single person on planet Earth. There's no question about the gaps. It's a fact. But beyond the brutal fact comes the question, what do we do with those gaps? Ultimately, there are really only two options. And to help us explore those options, we're going to take a look at a story, a parable that Jesus told to his friends and followers that's recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And the story goes like this. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So the Pharisee is a religious leader, part of the religious leadership class at the time. These guys were highly respected in that culture at that time because they claimed to live lives of uncompromising, unerring adherence to all 613 laws of the Jewish faith. which most people didn't even try to follow because it was nearly impossible and it was very expensive. The truth was, the Pharisees themselves didn't even follow the whole of the law. They created loopholes and exceptions for themselves all the time. Talk about a gap. These guys raised hypocrisy to a historic level. But their hypocrisy was not generally well known. So they enjoyed good reputation as sort of better than everybody else. That's what everybody thought, and that's what they thought too. The Pharisees were respected, while the tax collectors were not. In fact, they were reviled as traitors to the nation because they helped the Roman occupiers collect taxes on the Jews, taxes which in turn were used to subject the Jewish community to Roman tyranny. Additionally, according to the Roman custom, the tax collector could demand any amount he liked beyond what was owed to Rome, with the full authority of the Roman army behind him. Truth be told, most tax collectors often were unscrupulous people who openly practiced extortion, forsaking friends and family, faith and country, all for the purpose of illegal financial gain. Look what happened. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on the whole of my income. The first way to find validation is the way of this guy, the Pharisee. He validates himself. The Pharisee thanks God, but he does not thank God for anything God has done. He thanks God for what he's done, which is kind of a funny sort of prayer if you think about it. It's no prayer at all, really. It's a fake prayer. He considers himself different than, as in better than, other mere mortals, whom he takes a very dark view of, doesn't he? He calls us greedy, dishonest, adulterous. Not very nice. When we feel the gap, when we recognize that we've fallen short in our lives or some area of our lives, we're always tempted to compare ourselves to others. And here's the thing. We do not make fair comparisons. We compare ourselves to people in areas that feel safe for us, especially areas that are not challenging for us. If you find yourself saying or thinking, I may not be a perfect mother, but at least I don't yell at my kids the way she does. If you find yourself thinking, I may not be the perfect husband, but at least I don't cheat on my wife the way he does. If you find yourself thinking, I may bend the truth a little sometimes, but I'm not the liar she is. Those might be warning signs that you're thinking like the Pharisee. But even that's not all, because the Pharisee goes on in his fake prayer to present all the good things that he does. He fasts, he tithes, he goes to church, he prays, all good things for sure. But things he does, things he loves to do to show off, to the diminishment of others around him. Think about that. You may love to work out and you're in great shape, but that doesn't make you better than someone who struggles with their weight. Not at all. You may be really good at saving money, but that doesn't raise you to a higher level of humanity than the person who is not a saver. You may be super mom, but that doesn't make you better than the mom who just can't quite get it together day after day. Comparisons like those are actually a form of denial. They don't make our shortcomings go away. They do nothing to make up for our faults and failures, and it's also exhausting. It takes so much energy to convince ourselves that we're better and to keep telling ourselves. And meanwhile, such attitudes diminish our character, sometimes deeply. When it comes to that gap, denial and unfair comparisons are definitely one approach, but the story actually gives us another. Take a look. The tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The tax collector knows that he can't compare himself to anybody else. There is nobody else to compare himself to, because no one is held in lower esteem. This guy has gone as low as he can go, which leads him to pray a prayer that's actually a real prayer, because it's not focused on himself and what he's done. It's focused on God and what God can do. He prays, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." That word for mercy in the original Greek means here atonement, to atone for. What is atonement? Well, it's to repair past wrong. It's literally to make whole what was broken apart. It's filling the gap. If you think about it, the tax collector really prays a perfect prayer. He prays, "Oh God, make up for what is lacking in me. Make up for what is lacking in my faith." That's what Christ did on the cross. He atoned for our sins. When you discover, when you experience the gaps in your character, in your parenting, in your leadership, in your performance as a friend, in your walk of faith as a Christ follower, when you discover or experience the gaps that are there for all of us to see, those are opportunities. Not for denial or comparisons, but opportunities for growth as we grow in appreciation for the cross. On the cross, Christ filled the gaps. Look how he concludes the story. "I tell you, the tax collector went home justified, not the Pharisee." And here's the point. "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." The posture of humility that the tax collector adopts positions himself perfectly to receive, to be receptive to God's mercy. The Pharisee, on the other hand, puts himself in a position where that mercy is simply inaccessible. It's out of reach. Turns out God loves to give grace to the humble of heart, to people who are willing to just go ahead and admit they're not perfect in the role they play, the job they do, the person they've become. When we just admit that basic, perhaps brutal fact, God can get to work. God can get started. That's exactly the opportunity he's looking for, to atone for our failures, to provide the mercy needed to fill the gap and allow us to move forward with greater strength and success. The good news is that God validates us based not on our work or what we do or what we think we've accomplished, but on our willingness to rely on his atonement. So, anyway, this week, in the week ahead, you know what? You're going to experience that gap all over again. You're going to have faults and failures. You're going to make a mistake or two. It's going to happen. It's just a fact. It's going to happen to you. And trust me, I know already it's going to happen to me. And I can go ahead and predict that when it does, the temptation is going to be to ignore the fact or to make an unfair comparison with somebody else. Instead, in your heart, why not make the tax collector's prayer your prayer. In fact, if you only pray one prayer this week, why not make it his?
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.